Genesis chapter 12 and beginning in verse number 1. This morning we look at a journey of faith. A journey of faith. Genesis chapter 12 and beginning in verse number 1. This is the call of Abram, who is known as Abraham in the Bible before his name was changed. It says in Genesis 12, 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4 says, "So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south." Let's pray this morning. Scott Arnold, would you pray for us?
Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We look forward to your message from your word this morning. Just be with every person here this morning. There's one who does not know you as Lord and Savior. May this morning be that morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated today. A journey of faith. A journey of faith. You know, I've felt that the Lord had been leading me to preach on the area of faith on this day, our I Love My Church offering day. And as I've been surveying the scriptures and studying different men and women of faith, I found that there might not be a greater person of faith in all the Bible than the Old Testament hero, Abraham. And even in our ministry training class this past Wednesday night, we covered Abraham, and I just kept coming back to Abraham. You know, Abraham next to Jesus, some would say he's the most important person in all of the Bible. There are three major religions that trace their origin back to Abraham. Judaism does, Islam does, and Christianity does as well. He is mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible. 11 of the 27 New Testament books talk about Abraham. All four Gospels speak of him. He is mentioned frequently by Jesus. And when you fast forward to Hebrews 11 in the New Testament, which is what we know as the Christians call it the Hall of Faith, it details the men and women of the Bible, the great men and women of faith. And in that chapter, that great chapter, most of them get maybe one or two verses talked about them. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, gets six verses. Abraham gets 12. And so as we look at this morning, we're going to take a look at a journey of faith through the life of Abraham. And you know, truly, that's what we're all on as well. Amen? As Christians, a journey of faith. Now, we know that when we come to Christ, we're saved by faith, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that. Now, that's a one-time deal. You come to faith in Christ, you repent of your sins, you trust Him for salvation. He saves you just like that. You never have to be saved again or re-saved. Amen. But once He saves you, you're His. But once you become a Christian, you then live a life or a journey of trust and dependence on God. Your faith doesn't stop at salvation, right? Now, we exercise faith every day. When you came in here this morning, you sat down on that chair, you had faith that that chair was going to hold you up, all right? If you're a Browns fan, you exercise a lot of faith every single season, right? This is the year. That's faith. That might be blind faith. I don't know what that is, but that's awesome faith. We got a faithful church because I know we got a lot of Browns fans here. We do use faith and trust and dependence every day, but is our faith in the Lord? You know, Abram here, again, whose name was later changed to Abraham, Father Abraham. I'm not going to sing it. But what he had to do, hey, don't amen that part, right? He was told by God to do something, and if he did it, we're told the reward of his faith. Genesis 12:2 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." God says this is what's going to happen. Genesis 12:3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." That still stands today for the nation of Israel, by the way. But Abraham here, as he took this step of faith, what we don't realize, we don't fully comprehend how much faith Abraham had to do or had in order to do what God asked him. So that's what we're going to study this morning, Abraham's journey of faith. And I'd also like to share a little bit about what God has done here at LBC over the past 12 months and our journey of faith that we've been on as well. We learn a lot about faith in this story. The first thing that we learn, number one, faith causes you to leave the familiar. Faith causes you to leave the familiar. If you're in Genesis 12, look again at verse number 1 with me. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." Abraham's whole life is about to be disrupted here. The Lord tells him, leave your country, leave your kindred, and I want you to leave your father's house. Or in other words, he says, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your people, and I want you to leave your family. God was calling Abraham to an unfamiliar place. The familiar place is a place of comfort. We like what's familiar, right? Even when we go out of town or on vacation, there's nothing like home. Your own bed, right? Doesn't matter how fancy the hotels make them. My old stinky pillow, I want that back, right? The smells, and it's familiar to us, so it's comfortable to us. We like what's familiar. That's why most 90% of you sit in the same seats every single Sunday, right? Somebody needs to mix it up next week, all right, and switch sides, you know. Might have somebody mad at you. Faith causes you to leave the familiar, what's comfortable, and what you're used to. You know, today at 2 p.m., I was sharing with our Sunday school class, we support different missionaries here at the church. We believe we're supposed to do that. But we also support other church planners, new baby churches who are starting here in Ohio. At 2 p.m. today in Urbana, there's the Bible Baptist Church Urbana that's having their first ever service. Now, they're leaving the familiar, their own home church, right? What they're used to, what they're comfortable in, where they've been serving the Lord. They're leaving that to go to a place. Now, while the place may be somewhat familiar to them, what Pastor P.T. Thompson, who we're praying for, and his wife Melissa, what they're about to do and what they're taking on is not familiar at all. And that takes faith. He says, Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's house. And God had good reason behind it, too. Because we're told in Joshua about Abraham's father. Joshua 24:2, it gives us a little insight on what Abraham was leaving. Joshua 24:2 says this, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor." And it says this, "And they served other gods." Plural, lowercase g, okay? Other gods. God is calling Abraham away from his father's house of idolatry. Even though it was familiar to him, God is going to use Abraham because of his faith. And he takes a guy like Abraham, who wasn't special in and of himself, but he had faith in a big God. God uses the simple people to do his work. How do you think I got a job, right? Faith causes you to leave the familiar. Number two, the second thing we learn about the faith of Abraham is that faith goes beyond our own reasoning. It goes beyond our own reasoning. So God promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation, a great name. And all he had to do was leave his country. Big whoop, right? What faith does that take? Okay, we're going to go on. I like to travel anyways, Lord. So we're just going to take a road trip and go somewhere and you're going to give me all this stuff. What faith is required by that? But before the promise, we learned something important about Abraham and his family just a chapter earlier. He says, I'm going to give you an entire nation of people. You're going to be the father of this nation. But Genesis 11, 29, it tells us about Abraham's family. And it says in verse 29, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, or later known as Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But verse 30, here's what it says. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Sarah is barren. She can't have kids. And God promises Abraham not just children, but a great nation would come from him. And he doesn't even have children, and they can't have children. She's barren. Faith goes beyond our own reasoning. It's like, God, did you get the wrong guy here? Do you know our situation that we're in? I mean, Sarah, we don't have kids and we can't have kids, God. So this is just not going to work. If you're looking for somebody to have a bunch of kids, it's not coming from us. God, you're promising the impossible here. Andrew Murray said this, faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Can you imagine when he went to his family and he said, well, God has called us to leave this place and he's going to make of us a great nation. It would have been like, Abraham, you don't have any kids. What are you talking about, man? How is this going to work? Wait. He's going to make of you a great father. You're not even a father now. How's that going to work, Abraham? It's not going to work. Warren Wiersbe said this, faith obeys God in spite of circumstances. You think that Abraham had some good circumstances here? No, he didn't. Faith obeys God in spite of circumstances or consequences, and it's not afraid of what others may say or do. It just doesn't make sense, Abram. It's not going to work. It doesn't make sense to us, but to God, it did. Friend, 1 Corinthians 2:5 says this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. At this point, Abraham was 75 years old, okay? So it keeps kind of piling on. He has no children. His wife is barren. He's 75. It would be 25 more years before Isaac would come. Abram wasn't a spring chicken, okay? And yet God's saying, hey, we know, Abram, you're getting toward maybe the end of your life, but I want to uproot you and leave everything you know to go to a place that goes beyond reason. Nothing about what God was asking him to do was reasonable. But friend, when you step out in faith, God has a way of putting things together that don't make sense. You know, when we were first planting the church, the financial day-to-day financial responsibilities came back on me. By that, I just mean I would pay the bills, write the checks, balance the books, enter all the offering information and do all that stuff. And what I found was it was consuming my time. I mean, I felt like I was, now look, it's just not my personality. I'd rather be out making 10 hospital visits than staring at a computer screen all day. It's just not who I am. Now, maybe other people are numbers people and you love doing things like that. My brain just starts to melt, okay? And so now, not that I wish any of you to be in the hospital, okay? But what I'm saying is I'd rather be talking to you than putting numbers in a computer, okay? And so my time, I just became kind of burdened with this, knowing, God, I feel like I should be doing other things. Not that this is bad and it needs done, but I just, you know, started thinking it's eating away my time. And as a pastor, I want to be doing some other stuff. And so I prayed. And I prayed a specific prayer. Don't be afraid to pray specific prayers to God. What's it going to hurt if you ask Him for something specific, right? And so I said, God, would you bring me somebody to take this off of my plate so I can do other things that I feel like I need to do? And I prayed that specifically. And as I was praying, trusting the Lord, because we had stepped out in faith as we were planning the church, and I felt, man, I'm just overwhelmed. This is burdening me here. God, would you send somebody? By the way, we didn't have money to pay anybody. And so I began to pray, and then I was praying for a couple weeks, and there was one day I was praying, God, send me somebody. And the back door of the church opens up. Somebody walks in. And I lean my chair back. You know, if you've ever walked in the church, I'm in my office, I was, you know, who is it? And it was Valerie Drake. And Valerie Drake walks in the back door. She walks straight into my office, and she says, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to start taking a half day of work off every week, and I'm going to come in here to the church to do whatever you need me to do. And I was like, are you listening? Were you listening? Or something? And I'm sitting there like, okay. And I'm almost kind of taken back and dumbfounded about it. And how many times do we pray like that, right? God, would you do this? And God's like, okay. And we're like, well, God, I didn't expect you to actually do that, right? And we seem dumbfounded by it. And we start to, oh, you actually answered? Oh, He's like, yeah, that's how this works, okay? So I'm praying for that. And so I just say to Val, oh, okay. And I can tell on her face, it probably seems like I don't want her to do it, right? And so she's like, well, pray about it, you know, and just let me know. I don't have to, is what she said, but just pray about it. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm the pastor, so I got to be spiritual. Sure, I'll pray about it, Val. And so she left that day, and I remember as she left, I immediately start to pray. And I'm like, okay, hey, God, is this what you... And I felt like God was like, hello, why are you praying still, right? I'm sitting there praying for something God has already given me the answer to, and I'm like, well, let me just pray some more. He's like, stop praying, and there's your answer, right? I prayed about the shortest prayer of my life. Dear Lord, is this what you want? Okay, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Val. And so I think it was the next day she came back in, and you know, we kind of sat down, and I was like, I would love for you to come in and help me out with some things. I have some stuff on my plate that I would love to kind of hand off to you. In my mind, I'm thinking, praise the Lord, amen. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what I want her to do is all that computer stuff. I don't want to do it anymore. Now, I'm thinking it's going to take a while to train her how to do this and show her, you know, the financial system. And it'll probably be a little while before she gets it down. But eventually, it's going to be awesome. And it'll take some time initially. And but praise the Lord. I think as she was walking out, all right, we got it all settled. And I'm wanting her to help me with these financial things, okay? And I'm like, hey, Val, what do you do at your work? And she says, oh, I'm an accountant. Yes! Praise the Lord. I remember she came in that first week. It'll be a year ago in a couple weeks that she came in the first time. And she came in, she said, I don't want you to pay me anything. Praise the Lord, we've been able to since she's come on, amen, every week. But she said, yeah, I'm an accountant. When she came in that first week, I'm like, okay, and here's how you do, I don't know if you know how to do this. And she's like, yeah, I do this every day. And I'm like, all right, and that was it, man. Praise God. We step out in faith. And in the meantime, I was sitting there in my own strength, my own power, and the wisdom of men trying to work this out and say, no, I'm just going to grit through it. I'm going to do it all and do this. And I could tell it was really burdening me. And so finally I said, why don't I just ask God about it? And I did. And He said, sure. And He served it up on a silver platter. Said, you're walking in faith. You were walking in sight. But then when you started trusting me, friend, when we step out in faith, He has the ability to do things that go beyond our own reason. He will lead you to the unfamiliar. He will go beyond our own reasoning. Number three, faith will lead you to the unknown. Something I don't want to miss here in Genesis 12:1. Look there again with me, okay? At the end of this verse, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. And notice this, don't miss it. Unto a land that I will show thee. That I will show you. He's not taking Abraham to a place he's been before. Hebrews 11:8, it tells us a little more detail. It says it another way. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. And notice what it says. Not knowing whither he went. In other words, he had no idea where he was going. God says, Abram, I want you to get up, leave all that stuff. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Go to this land, having never showed him the land. He didn't know where he was going. Abraham, just get up and go. Oh, yeah, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to go. Man, see, we want God, show me everything first, and then I'll step out in faith. But is that really faith? Verse 4, Genesis 12:4 says this. After he commanded him to do all that, even though he's 75 years old, he has no children, his wife is barren, he doesn't know the land. Verse 4, so Abraham departed. He goes. He just goes. He began his long journey. And we're not really given much about the journey of Abram, much insight. But it does say this in Genesis 12:5 at the very end of the verse. It says, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And then it just says this. So they leave, and into the land of Canaan they came. So they go forth to go to Canaan, and then they come into Canaan. But hang on a second. Time out. We kind of get the impression here that he just drove down the street to Canaan. And that was not the case. Canaan could have possibly been over 1,000 miles away. Not by plane, okay? Not by car. 1,000 miles away. So Abraham departs, and then he comes to Canaan. See, when God calls you to step out in faith, it's often to a place we've never been before. But here's the key. He's not inviting you to a place where you are alone. But rather, notice what happens when Abram arrives. He's never been there before. But Genesis 12 and verse number 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. So God, look, God is already there. Do you see that? He leaves, and we're not given, again, a ton of insight here on what the journey was like. But when he gets there, he's calling you to a place where he already is. He's not asking you to step out into the unknown by yourself. He's already there to join him. David Maskelyne said this, one of the greatest obstacles we face in following Christ is the fear of the unknown. We yearn to know in advance the outcome of our obedience where he is taking us, yet we are only given the assurance that he is with us. And with that, we venture into the unknown with him. I mean, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. The unknown. God is calling Abram to go to a place he's never been. Now listen, once he got there, was it easy to come back to Canaan? Well, yeah, he'd already been there. Yeah, sure, I know where Canaan is. He'd been there. Built an altar, called upon the name of the Lord. No problem, I'll go to Canaan. Once he already got there, it was a piece of cake. Well, I don't want to say piece of cake, but he'd been there before. And oftentimes it is in our lives, when you take a step of faith to do something you've never done, For the Lord, it takes faith, but your faith is a thing that grows. And so maybe you come the first time. I remember when somebody asked me to teach a class for the first time at church. I thought, what? You want me to teach a class? How often? Every week? Every week? Every Sunday? Okay, I'll pray about that. Sure. No, I did. And the Lord got a hold of my heart and I said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And I remember they came back to me, the youth group. They said, hey, we want you to preach to the junior high on Wednesday. And I said, both? You want me to do both? Sunday morning and Wednesday? They're like, yeah, we want you to. I'm like, okay, well, I guess. And I stepped out in faith and did that. So I was teaching twice. And now I think, Today I teach and preach at least five times a week, if not more. I think, man, two times? I've been there. That's easy. Done that, right? Once you get there and once you do it, it seems like it's easier to go back. But God continues to stretch you and He continues to use you. I remember the first time before I was married, before we had any kids, right? I'm on my own in a sense, and we have our first I Love My Church offering at LBC Chillicothe. And I remember the first time that I felt compelled to give, and the Lord was really dealing with me, and it was an amount that I had never given before. And so I gave it, and I thought, you ever give one of those where you're like, oh, you know, give me that back. And yet, I know now, I think back, well, I've been there, I've done that, I've seen God do it then, so He could do it again the next year. So the next year it was like, well, He's going to stretch me some more. In essence, what God was saying to Abraham was, close your eyes and take my hand. You know, it's hard enough to follow God when we know where He's leading us. Can you imagine following the Lord when you have no idea where you're going?
Amen.
It was something that he had never done before. You know, as I mentioned, planting the church. I've never been a lead pastor before. I'd never done it. Completely unknown. I'd worked at a church. I've been on staff. I've been an assistant. I tell you this, it's not the same. It's different. I knew that God was here, and that's where I wanted to be too. Abraham knew that God was in Canaan, and that's where he wanted to be. Faith will lead you to the unknown. And lastly, and I'll close, faith may lead you to a place of discomfort. When Abraham finally arrives at Canaan, it's not long before he faces some discomfort. And really, don't miss this last point. If you get anything, get this, okay? Genesis 12:10. He gets to the land. He steps out. Great faith. We're doing it, Lord. We're going. He gets to the land of Canaan, and here's what it says. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. There's a famine in the land of Canaan. Now, let me ask you a question. I really want you to think about this passage. Who called Abraham to go to the land of Canaan? Who was it? It was God. It was the Lord. Okay, question. Where was the famine? In Canaan. Who led Abraham to the place of famine? It was God. It was not Satan. It was God who led Abraham to Canaan, where the famine was. He caused Abraham to take his family to a place where there was a famine. Abraham, now get this, he's not disobedient. He's walking in faith, literally. Walking in faith, and he comes to a place and he finds himself in a famine. You know, we may come to a place of discomfort while we're walking in faith and we're tempted to become bitter at the Lord. God, why? I don't understand. I did what you asked me to do. I took the step of faith, and now things are harder than they were before. So did God pull a fast one on Abraham here? Did he get him with some fine print that Abraham didn't hear or something? You know, you listen to the radio, and almost inevitably at the end of any of the advertisements, there's a guy's voice who comes on and he tells you all the terrible things about that product, right? And it's always in fast forward. There's no way he talks that fast, and it gets faster every time I hear it. And, you know, we're not held responsible for blah, 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 and it just lists it off. We just tune out. Now, are they doing that because they genuinely care? No. They're covering their own hind end, aren't they? So did God kind of pull a fast one and, step out in faith and I'll do all these things for you. But I'm not held liable for a famine or any plague or pestilence. Is he trying to trick them here? That's not it. A believer might become bitter or angry with God or even accuse God of saying something. You know, God, you said, if I did this, if I trusted you, that everything would be okay. Everything would be fine. I would never have any trouble. But when I come to the Word of God, my friend, You're going to have a hard time finding anywhere where it says we'll never have trouble. In fact, very often, while we are trusting God, He will lead us into the land of famine. He will lead us as Jesus did. He commanded His disciples to go into the sea where He knew the storm was going to be. Abraham gets to Canaan. There's a famine there. So here's what he does. And we see Abraham's been walking in faith, but then he begins to walk by sight. He takes matters into his own hands and he says, you know what? I heard that Egypt has a lot of food. They're doing great over there. So Abraham grabs his family and says, hey, we're leaving Canaan and we're going down to Egypt. We have the same tendency. We're walking by faith. Something uncomfortable comes. And as believers, what we do, we go back to default mode and we start trusting in ourselves and walking by sight. Once some adversity comes, we think, well, God, I know I was trusting you now, but now I got to do this myself. Abraham takes things into his own hands. I think that's exactly what he did, because you don't find anywhere where God says, Abraham, go to Egypt. He told him to go to Canaan. He never told him to leave. And yet Abraham is walking by faith, but then discomfort comes. He's in a famine and he says, well, God, I can't keep walking in faith. It is a continual walk. The God that led him to Canaan surely would have provided for him in Canaan. God will prove our faith, and it may be that we're led to the land of famine to do so. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. We're not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. It might be the very will of God that you're in a place of discomfort. And let me tell you, friend, listen, Abraham was a lot safer in the land of famine than he was in the land of Egypt where there was no famine. He was a lot safer in the will of God walking by faith than he was walking by sight in the land of Egypt. And he ends up losing his testimony, and he almost lost his wife while he was there too. You know, November of 2016, we're walking by faith. Just felt the Lord leading myself, my family, to plant the church, to lead the church, to lead the work, to be the pastor. And so we're stepping out. God, we don't know what you're going to do here, but we're trusting you in faith. Now listen, in November of 2016, we wanted to know, before everything was run out of the LDC Chillicothe, the campus, while we were still just a campus. So all the financials were run out of there. So we said, well, we're going to be on our own independent. So what we need to do is we need to figure out, is the ministry able to support itself? Now look, I had already surrendered to what God would call my family to do, okay? Man. That was already in the books. So November we said, all right, well, we're going to do all the finances out of Circleville's accounts. We're going to pay all the bills and everything out of Circleville's bank account. Before, again, if we came up short, Chillicothe would cover it. November, I take over the responsibility of that. December, by the end of the month, there are $0 in the account. It's like, way to go, Pastor Nate, right? You're not doing very well. $0. I remember coming in one day. I paid all the bills first. I printed my check. When I printed my check, there was negative money in the accounts. I can't cash the check. So I'm holding the check, thinking, well, I mean, I can't cash it. What are we going to do? Just wait till next week, I guess, and see if we have enough come in the offering. I couldn't go to God and say, hey, God, I know I surrendered and all, but based on these circumstances, you would understand. Let me out of this, right? When we stepped out to plant the church, listen, we had people here. We had a building. We couldn't pay for the building, though. In 2 months, it's $0. Every week, I would give Pastor Ryan an update on our finances. That week, I was like, well, the update is there are none. So did God mess up his call? Did he get it wrong? Hey, can I go back and kind of, can I surrender something else or somewhere? That wasn't even a thought. God, you brought us here. It doesn't matter how much money is in our bank account. We're not trusting in our bank account. We're trusting in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter how much is coming in the offering, God, because I know you led me here. And so I'm going to be here in the famine no matter what.
Amen.
So we prayed. What else could you do? Now, we had a big offering coming up or plan. We didn't know how big it was going to be. And it, praise the Lord, Chillicothe said, we're going to match your offering up to $20,000. Awesome. Now, even then, I'm thinking, well, that would get some in the bank, but is that, how long is that going to last? I mean, you got more going out than you have coming in. All right, anybody knows, it's not going to work for very long. So they said, here's what we'll do. In faith, we believe that you guys are going to at least take in $5,000. So we'll give you that $5,000 right now. So we had, in a sense, some of that money already given to us by faith. Said, all right, we'll get through. And we continue to pray. We're preaching God's word. We're being faithful. We're not going back. We're not saying, hey, God, I got here to the land of Canaan. I didn't know if you knew this, but there's a famine here. Where I was at, I was doing fine. So we're going to head back there till you take care of this, and then we'll come back to Canaan, God. So we're trusting the Lord. And we're still here. So you think, well, what happened? Let me tell you what God's done this past year. Listen, so we don't talk a ton about money here. I hardly ever preach about it, maybe once a year. But I do like to praise the Lord. In 2016 to 2017, our offerings quadrupled. In 2016, total offerings were around $46,000. 2017, around $186,000. Think, how does that happen? Well, friend, if you were to go back in December when I'm holding that check in my hand and you were to try to work it out on paper how we were going to quadruple our offerings in one calendar year, it would not make sense. But God.
Amen.
And besides the financials, there were 59 people saved last year. We had 21 people join the church membership, 272 first-time visitors. We support 10 missionaries right now as a church. We're probably going to support two more at the end of this month. Praise God for what He has done. That's what happens, not because of certain people, but when ordinary people walk in faith. That's our journey of faith. And friend, we're still on it. We're still on it. We're still trusting God. Our journey of faith isn't over. Faith will cause you to leave the familiar. It will cause you to think and go beyond what's reasonable. It will lead you to the land of the unknown. And friends, there are many times where your faith will bring you to a place of discomfort. But where He leads you, listen, wherever He leads you, He's already there. He'll be there. And listen, that's where I want to be. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand,